let's pray before we get started, okay? Heavenly Father, I am, wow, it's overwhelming to look at these faces. It's overwhelming to know that there's going to be faces watching us and listening at different times, and we just thank you. This is what overwhelms me, God, is that there are women hungry for your word, and they want to know you. Thank you that, you know, you love us whether we know this Bible well or not, because you love us, you created us, and you have purpose for us. I pray that every girl walks out of here today and walks out of this study just knowing you a little bit deeper, a little bit better, whatever that looks like. Thank you for the time they're giving to this. Multiply it, Lord. Create spaces of time that blow their minds, that they had no idea they even had. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the leadership here. And thank you for all the hands and feet that made all this stuff happen that nobody even knows about. Thank you, God. Thank you for your son. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, you guys. It's so good to see you. So let me just say this. First things first, pat yourself on the back. You are here. And that's like legit. That's serious. Because there's a lot of people that are not here. So way to go. I'm proud of you for being here. What we're going to do today, it's going to look a little different than most days. Today, I'm going to start us out by going over some basics, some housekeeping stuff. I'm going to give you some background on Psalms. And then you're going to get to go and be in your small group. And that's the fun part. Like, this is like the boring part. So the fun part comes. So what we're going to do first is my book went away. Everybody have one of their books? Hold it up. The little God Reveals We Respond, the book with the black cover. Awesome. You got one. Oh, there you go. Stealing my stuff. Thank you. Inside the front cover of your book, there's a little paper that says welcome. So welcome. I want you to grab that paper out. I'm going to go over a couple things with you guys before we get into the background of Psalms. Your small group leaders are going to cover some of that stuff again. So if there's questions that if I don't get everything, just know that you're going to have that opportunity with them, okay? So pull that little welcome paper out. And let's take a look at that for a sec. Before we do that, let's do this. Everybody get a pen out. Write your name on the inside cover of your book. You're going to work hard. You don't want to lose that thing. Write your name on the inside cover. And maybe your phone number or your Twitter handle or whatever. All right, so as you're doing that, we're going to look at that welcome page. We're going to go over a couple of things. I want to tell you, a lot of you guys, this is what's so cool about Rock Point Women's Ministry. So many of you, I don't even know you. And I love that because we're going to become best friends. But a lot of you guys don't go to Rock Point. This may be your first women's ministry Bible study at Rock Point. You may go to another church, but I want to tell you something about this women's ministry. And I believe this in the deepest parts of my soul, and I think you're going to believe it too when you leave here. This is a safe place, okay? It's a safe place. We take these two first things that I'm going to talk to you about, the group harmony and the safe environment, real seriously, okay? We want you to come here. Here's what we're here for. We're here to be united in the Word of God, right? We're not here to all talk about politics like we do on Facebook and argue about hot button topics that we argue about all the time. We're not here to do that. We're to talk about this. So I want you to know that. And I want you to know this too. And I mean this sincerely. And I know Dawn does too. If you get into a situation where you feel like we're not abiding by these things that we're committing to you to abide by, you come tell us. Because this is important. This is important. So let's look at that first part, group harmony. I know you can read. I mean, you're in the Bible study, so I'm thinking you can read. I want to just hit a couple things with you really quick. The first bullet says, arrive on time for small group time. I want you to know that our commitment to you is that we're going to honor your time. And we're going to start on time, and we're going to end on time. And if that means that I get cut off mid-sentence because I'm wordy, then that's what happens. If that means that your small group leader is praying in that room and there's not a person in there and she's by herself with Jesus, that's going to happen. But just know that we're starting on time. We're going to end on time. If you can get there on time, great. If you come late, that's okay too. But we just want you to know that we're starting on time, ending on time. Number two, maintain confidentiality. Dawn said this once, and I love it. We're not here to gossip. By the way, who's a woman? Raise your hand if you're a girl. Okay. Most of you are girls. We struggle with this part. do we not? Bless her heart. Let's pray for her and gossip about her over lunch at Corner Bakery. We're not doing that. We're different here, okay? All of you, all of us, we're different. When you go into a group, I want you to think about this. I want you to honor the absent. If you got a situation and something, and there's going to be some personal questions, you're welcome, and you're going to feel inclined to maybe write some details, God knows the details. You don't need to write names. You don't, just honor the absent, okay? I'm going to ask you to do that. I'm also going to ask you to remember that in times, people share things in small groups that maybe later they might feel a little vulnerable about the fact that they just shared it. Honor that. Respect them. Don't share it. Don't even know it. You know, we have a rule amongst our small group leaders. If Shauna has something going on in her group and somebody shares a prayer request, it's not like she comes to me later and goes, oh my gosh, wait till you hear this. Okay, ready? We don't talk about it either. Pray. But we're not going to talk about those things. So maintain confidentiality. Keep your answers on topic and brief. Your small group leader will cover that more. The thing I like to think about, because I'm a big mouth, I talk a lot, is I need to do better at listening. So if you're in a group and you know you're always one that wants to share, maybe put a couple stars by just a couple of questions, and then listen well. You'll be amazed at what God will teach you through the words of the other people in your group. Okay, the next one, respect each other at all times. And this kind of goes with that maintain confidentiality. Let me ask you to do this. Don't make assumptions. Don't make assumptions about people. Everybody has a story, okay? Look around the room right now. People sitting next to you, you do not know all the stories in this room. You're going to have different points of view. You're going to have different interpretations. And you're going to have different understandings of even the scripture that we cover. And it's okay. I mean, there's obviously a few things that we're not going to bend on. But it's okay. For us to not always agree. So please, please remember that. The last item under group harmony, bring concerns and questions to your small group leader. We at Rock Point are real serious about the way we approach issues and the way we approach accountability and authority. If you have a problem, you go to your small group leader first. If that problem can't be resolved, that small group leader will come to what we call our RHPs. Where are our RHPs? Where are you? Mary and Becky, those girls. They're magical. That's the way it'll go. The small group leader will then come to them. If that needs to be brought to me, fine. If it needs to go to Dawn, we'll handle it that way. But please start with your small group leader, okay? And any questions so far? Look at that. All right. All right, second section is that safe environment. And I can get on a soapbox, and we don't have, like, tons of time, so I won't do this. You can read, but I want you to hear me when I say this. We are here for what unites us. We are not here for what divides us. Say it again. We are here for what unites us. We are not here to talk about what divides us. And there's some items here that you're going to see that you're going to be like, oh my gosh, why can't we talk about that in Bible study? It's Bible study. Because chances are, if you're going to talk about a denomination, it's going to be divisive. Chances are, if you're going to go into politics, oh, heavens help us. Please, no one, please. I'm begging you. It's going to be divisive. We don't all agree. That's the beauty of the church. Amen? We don't have to all agree on these things. Divorce, marriage things, this is about you and about the Lord. That's who it's about, okay? Stay focused on those things, and that'll be respectful of everyone. The last thing is homosexuality, any other types of hot-button topics that are out there right now that the church and the secular world are talking about, we're not doing it here. Okay? If there's something that directly relates to the passage that we're dealing with this week, then we'll deal with it. But let me tell you this, and I'm speaking on behalf of my people, my tribe, my small group leaders. If you're a small group leader, raise your hand, whether you like it or not. Yes. These women, do not, please, please protect them. Don't put them in a situation where they have to shut you down, because they will shut you down. I told them they could throw stuff. They will throw stuff. The books don't hurt bad, but if they bring a binder... my hurt. Don't make their jobs hard, okay? Because I want you to hear me when I say this. I said before that we all have a story. You don't know the story of the woman next to you. You don't know what she's dealing with. You have some hot opinion on some political thing or some social issue. You don't know what the girl in the chair next to you is walking through. Don't do it. Horse sufficiently beaten to a pulp? Okay. All right, so let's turn over on the back page quickly. Schedules. At the top of that page, you'll see that we have the daily class schedule. That's what it's going to look like every day from here on out. I think on the brunch days, we may change it a little bit, but we'll make sure that you guys are fully aware of any time changes. But so that you know, next week when you come, well, today you're going to leave, you're going to take your name tag off, you're going to leave it with your small group leader, correct? Okay. And then when you come next week, don't come here first. Go to your small group first. And then everybody will dismiss and move over here. Make sense? The other thing, when we finish, sometimes we will go right up to 12. If you have children in childcare, please go pick them up before you hang out and chat. We need to respect those childcare workers. They are angels from heaven above. They have halo. You need to hug them, love them, bring them cookies. They are amazing. But go pick your kids up. The second thing, the weekly class schedule. We just broke that out so you guys could take a look and see kind of how it's going to look. We have a couple of brunches planned. Those that are at different times on Tuesday mornings, Thursdays, Wednesday evening, they'll work that out on their own. But what we're planning on is something within your group. You'll hear details about that later. One other thing to note, we follow the LISD schedule. We follow their weather closings. We follow all that. So if there's something weird going on, which usually happens, watch for the LISD closings. Your small group leader will be the first person that will get in touch with you if something changes, a late start, or we close. Check the Facebook page. That's how you're going to find out that kind of stuff. Which brings me to the last very important bullet item, social media and stuff like that. There's a Facebook page. If you're on Facebook, who's on Facebook? Raise your hand. Every one of you has time to do your homework. See? Huh? Gotcha. Tricked ya. There's a Facebook page that we set up for this study, and that'll be a place. It's not essential, so if you're not on Facebook, don't worry. If you are on Facebook, join us there because there's some great conversations and there'll be some encouragements and things like that that we'll post there. We'll also post information, but again, email through your small group leader or phone calls will be where you get most of the important stuff. Yes, ma'am. Louisville Independent School District. Thank you very much. Louisville Independent School District. That's who we're going to follow, their schedule. One more thing. When we were thinking through all this, some of us that are on Twitter and on Instagram, things like that, thought it'd be really fun to have a hashtag. If you guys take notes, if you guys have some great insight that you get, a neat thing that God reveals to you throughout the week, hashtag GRWR. And if you forget, it's like right on your book, so it's not hard. But we're going to do that, and that's a cool way for us to be able to share stuff too. So feel free to hashtag it up, post things on social media. Any questions? All right. Oh, yes, ma'am. Who's going to tell Evelyn about that later? Courtney's on it. Christy's on it. All right. We'll get you. We'll get you later with the hashtag. Hashtag will take care of you. Okay. All right. Grab your participant guide that has your name on the inside cover. All right, what we're going to do is we're going to go over the introduction. That's on page little I-1. Little I? That's our introduction. These are the things that make me happy. It's this page. All right. We're going to set some expectations for you guys before we start talking about our Psalms background. A couple things we're going to talk about. Let's talk about purpose. Why the heck are we here besides coffee and muffins and childcare? Those are all valid reasons, and I'm really glad that it's okay if that's the only reason you're here, because God has other plans, so that's cool. Here's the deal. What you're going to discover real quickly is that God has this, he's a show-off, and he does really cool stuff, and a lot of us can attest to that, right, as we've been getting ready for you guys. He's got something to reveal to every one of us through the Psalms. And it's going to be different for all of us. And I can't even tell you what it's going to be. But I'll tell you this. Our plan is that we want you to be able to discover how God reveals himself through the Psalms. And then the second part of the plan is we want to use Psalms as a guide to help you respond to God. Okay? He reveals himself. We're going to respond. That's the plan. It's kind of that simple. I did want to share with you kind of a cool quote that I found from a friend of mine. And she said, I might have gotten us out of order. Apologize. This is one thing she said, and I want you to think about this. As we're studying and we're trying to figure out what the heck we're doing in Psalms and what we're trying to understand, I want you to think about this. This book, if you've done my Bible study before, you know what I'm about to say. Who's it about? God, thank you. Winner, winner. Is it about you? Yeah. It's about God. And by understanding who he is, you're going to then be able to apply it to who you are and do this self-discovery thing, right? But this is a thing about God discovery, y'all. Let's just get it clear right up front. This is about God. My friend Jen Wilkin, who has encouraged me and laughed at me a lot whenever I told her I was going to write a Bible study, she laughed a lot, actually. Really loudly at Roots when I told her, I think I'm supposed to write one. And she went, good luck with that. It's going to be fun. But I love how she puts this, and I want you to hear this. We won't focus solely on answering the question, what does the Bible say about me in here? We're going to push you guys to discover what he wants you to know about him. Okay? And this is what Jen says. You see, the Bible is not a book about self-discovery. It's a book about God discovery. The Bible is God's declared intent to make himself known to us. In learning about the character of God in Scripture, we will experience self-discovery. But it must not be the object of our study. The object of our study is God himself. Okay? Self-discovery comes. All that cool self-help application, that's all beautiful, and we're going to do that. But what we're going to do first is we're going to try to figure out what God wants us to know about who he is. Okay? That's what the purpose is. That's why you're here. Child care, all that, that's great too. But you're here to understand who God is, how he reveals himself, and then how we can respond. All right, the next thing we're going to talk about is the process. What you'll notice when you flip through the book is there's sections on homework, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But I want you to understand this. We're going to move through things in this way. Every single day, you're going to read Scripture. You're going to read it. And let me lovingly, sweetly encourage you with your little sweet Bibles that you have. And I see you have a lot of really smart ones, like Life Application and all the. So I want you to think about this. If you've got a Bible that's got real cool notes on the bottom and commentaries and everything, I want you to either borrow a Bible that has none, love you, or I want you to cover it up, because here's the first thing we're going to do each time. Every day, we're first going to read Scripture, and I don't want you to let somebody else tell you what to think about it. I want you to talk to God about it and figure out what he wants to teach you about it. So we're going to do this. We're going to say, what does it even say? Okay? What does this thing even say? That's the first question. The second question we're going to move into, and that's where the homework questions are going to push you, is what does it mean? And we're going to go over a lot of questions that kind of make us dig and make us cross-reference and some stuff where we're like, I don't even know. What does he mean? And then the third one, and this is where that application comes in, is, okay, how is it going to change me? How is it going to change me? Can't flip the order, okay? Not in this Bible study. We're going to do it in order. What does it say? What does it mean? And how is it going to change me? Jen Wilkin says it this way. We're going to earn the application, girls. We're going to earn it. By the time you get to the end of your homework, you're sitting in your small group discussing it. And then when I get up here and start spewing whatever I'm going to say, that's where you're going to start seeing the application. Like, oh, so that's why it matters to me in Flower Mound, Texas, and, you know, right now. Okay? That's how we're going to approach it. All right. So the next section, guidelines. All right, no, I don't want any booing or hissing. I don't want any disgruntled people, because your Bibles are cute, and I like them with the little notes, but here's the thing. I want you to avoid commentaries. And let me throw this out there. This is going to rock your world. I want you to avoid your own commentaries. You know what I mean by that? You got a Bible like mine that has all these really cute notes, like, oh, I'm so smart. I took all these notes at church and everything. I want you to ignore those too. God bless you. I want you to ignore them. Here's the thing. He's got something new to teach you. How many people have read a psalm before or heard one before or prayed one before or studied it or whatever? Okay. So God showed you something at that point. He's got something all new and different and cool to show you now. Don't get stuck back where you were. Okay? That's my challenge. No commentaries. Jen says this, and I say it all the time. We're going to dwell in the what? In the I don't know, people. Dwell in it. When you get to a place and you're reading Psalm 88, which you will get to that place, and you will go, I don't know. Own it. Just be in it. Just enjoy that moment, because you know what? If you dwell in the I don't know and you sit there for a minute and go, God, I just don't know, then what happens? You might learn something, right? That's, I know, it's a trip. It's crazy, but you might. He wants us to be in that I don't know for a minute so that we can try to understand what he wants to show us. If you approach God's word and think you have it all figured out, because let me tell you, there's a reason that you won't find Psalm 23 in your lessons. Don't freak out. You've all heard it a million times. Well, you know what? You just may not hear it in this Bible study. But I want you to approach it in this way. God, I don't know. Tell me. I don't know any of this. Okay? The third thing I want you to know, use tools. I'm not telling you don't use tools. There's cross-references, which means other verses that point to different things. It's going to blow your mind when you read Psalms. How many New Testament verses? How many Old Testament things? They're all just, it's just, they overlap. And it's cool. Check those out. Dictionaries. There's a couple of times I'm going to tell you to define things. Whatever. Get a dictionary. Get an app. That's cool. Alternate versions of the Bible. This study, I wrote it using the ESV version. There's going to be some times where you fill in the blank and it's in the ESV version. So you may have to get online and look it up to make sure, because your Bible may be different. But I'm going to encourage you, use different versions. Like, you'll notice in here, I quote the Message. And as those of you that have been in my Bible studies know, I quote the Jesus Storybook Bible, right? The greatest translation of all time. It'll happen. Mm-hmm. There you go. But it's not my primary Bible. You need to have one of these translations that's reliable, NIV, HCSB, ESV, NASB, one of those to be your primary study Bible. The rest of those things, those are just supplemental, great, awesome tools, okay? All right, schedule. This is how this thing's going to roll. Each week, you're going to go, like when you leave here today, you're going to, that's awesome. Okay, when you leave here today, you're going to look at lesson two. That's on page 2-1. Open to that page for just a second. Let me explain that to you. Lesson two. So each week when you leave here, you're going to have homework. And I've broken it out because I love you so much. I've broken it out by 5 days of homework. Hey, there's 7 days. So like, look, you're totally ahead already. 7 days, 5 days, whatever. Each day. And you don't have to do it. Do it however you want to do it. But I broke it out that way because sometimes I need a stopping point or I'm that person. You know, I need a finish line. So it's broken out. There's days of homework. Don't worry. I see some of your faces worrying. Don't worry. Some of these questions are things like, write Psalm 1:6. Okay, you can do that. Don't defeat yourself before you start. Remember the beginning when I asked you if you were on Facebook? Remember that part? Let me ask you this too. Does anybody watch HGTV? Oh my gosh. Fixer Upper? What? You have time to do your homework. You have time to do your homework. I have time to do my homework. We can do it. We can do it, right? We can do it. So each week, you're going to have 5 days worth of homework. Flip to, let's look at the end of that one. Okay, so on page 2-10, let me look at something. At the end of each week's homework, the very last question says, God reveals, we respond. And it has you flip to the back. And in the back, if you feel for another cardstock page, there's an appendix. Here's what's cool. Are y'all ready? This is nerd time. Here I go. You're going to write a psalm. Calm down. I know, it's exciting. Just stop yelling and laughing. And here's the thing. We're going to respond to God, and we're going to write our own psalm. Psalm 119 is the longest one in the book of Psalms. And so what we've done, God is so cool and crazy like this. He decided that that was going to be the one broken out in 22 sections, which is what I totally needed. Thank you, God. Each week at the end of your lesson, you're going to go and you're going to see written right on the what is that? That's the left-hand side. That's the actual passage, the actual psalm. But on the right-hand side, I've kind of prompted you. Nobody's checking this. This is yours. I want you to just talk to God. Just take that opportunity to respond to him. Write your own psalm. And you know what, girls? by the end of this thing, we're going to have written this whole big, beautiful story. And I have a feeling it's going to be pretty amazing. So don't skip that. Like I said, you're not going to get checked on any of this stuff. Just give yourself an opportunity to respond to him. That's just like a little, Shauna and I called it, we called it our Mad Lib Psalm. It's your Mad Lib. A couple people know what a Mad Lib is. You're going to fill in the blank and fill that out. So that's how weekly homework is going to go. Then you're going to come back, and in your small group, they're going to discuss, the small group leaders are going to have a list of questions you're going to cover, and you're going to discuss them in your small group. You're not going to discuss every question, not going to happen, but if there's certain questions that you just feel like God's just really moved you or led you to, I don't know, have some really neat thing that you would want to share, just put a little star by it. You know, you may have time, you may not, but just think that way, because I tell you, friends, if you've been in a Bible study before, you know this, that it's not about the stuff I'm saying. God's going to do stuff in your small groups that I couldn't even start to try to make happen, okay? So just remember that. Sometimes if you're nervous about sharing, just remember sometimes what you're sharing, it isn't for you at all. It might be for the girl sitting next to you that really needs to hear it. Those are those moments that I just love when you guys take that opportunity to share and to listen. So that's how homework's going to look. You're going to come to small group, and like I said, the leaders are going to pray. They're going to start the discussion. You're going to have a certain amount of time. How do I say this? Don't go on and on. See, I can tell you guys not to do stuff because I'm the worst person in a small group. Like, I'm pretty much every example of the things you don't want to do. Like, I just ramble on and talk. And, oh, I want to answer. And small group leaders are like, please stop. You've answered every question. I want to ask you this. Stay on what we're talking about. Do your very best. We are women, again, right? So we know that that's a challenge, but these questions and all of this have been prayerfully crafted for you to come to a place where you're going to know God better. If you've got awesome, cool things to talk about that are different than what we're covering in our study and the questions that we're going over in our group, hey, go have lunch afterwards. There's a lot of really cool places to have lunch. And just talk about whatever you want. But try to respect your small group. Try to respect your leader. Stay on topic as best you can, okay? Small group leaders, do you appreciate that? Okay, you're welcome. And the last thing we're going to do each week is we're going to end up in here. I have something really exciting to say about that, not about me, in this. There will be less of this, which is, that's exciting, right? We don't need a lot of this. This time, we're doing the Psalms, so guess what? We're going to do some songs, and we're going to hear some stories. I cry sometimes, so sorry. I'm going to try not to do that right now, but we're going to come in here, and every time we're going to get to spend some time in worship first, and Patrick and Nicole are going to lead us in that, not this week, but you're going to love that. You're going to want to be done with when I'm on here. It's going to be so cool. So they're going to get up and lead us in some songs, and then we're going to have some folks that are going to share their stories, and that's really cool too, right? So those are going to be neat things that happen in the lecture time, not just me talking. So that's great news for everybody. Any questions about any of that? I know I just ran through it. And remember, you're going to go to your small group. So just harass them if I didn't cover some stuff. I kind of get it? Sort of? Awesome. Okay. I got like 18 minutes-ish. Open your participant guide to lesson one. And that should be on page 1-1. See how that works? Spent a lot of time doing the page numbering, people. Appreciate it. Looks like this. All right. The first thing we're going to do before we even get into studying God's word is we're going to set the background, because we need to understand some details about it, right? When it was written, who wrote it, those things that there was an original intention before it got to Flower Mound 2015. So we're going to cover some of those things. Let me share, before I get into the questions, let me share some fun facts. Some fun facts about Psalms. Largest book of the Bible, right? Most frequently quoted Old Testament book in the New Testament. Did you know that? This is something that I didn't know. There's not really an order, okay? Type A people, the rest of you, ADD people, don't listen. Type A people, listen to me now. Don't freak out when lesson two comes rolling around and it's like Psalm 6, Psalm 27, Psalm 18, it's going to get all weird. So don't worry. We're not going through 1, two, three. There's going to be times when we mix stuff up. So just lean in, throttle up. You're going to be okay. Okay? The Psalms are not written. There's not really an order. They have been arranged, and we'll talk about that again in just a moment. I'll kind of walk you through what that looks like. But just know that. There's not like it started here and it ended here, and that's when it was written. And so that's kind of interesting. Psalm 119 is the largest chapter in the entire Bible. Largest chapter in the entire Bible. That's the one you guys are going to be writing. So that'll be cool. Some things about Psalms. Do you know that the Psalms talk about Jesus? Did you know that? I don't know how familiar we are with your Bible, but Jesus comes in like the back half, like later in the New Testament part, but he doesn't. He's all over it, right? Who studied Genesis? Who was all over that? Jesus. We learn about in the Psalms, Christ's ascension, his burial, his death, his deity, his exaltation, his kingship. There's like a giant list I could go through. And I can give you the numbers if you want to come find me afterward. I want you to know this too. In the New Testament, Jesus quotes the Psalms more than any book of the Old Testament. That's important. 11 times he quotes the book of Psalms. If Jesus had it to say, it's in red for a reason. We need to listen, right? It's kind of amazing. We're going to study things and we're going to learn and pray and respond to God in a way that Jesus did. Kind of an awesome example. Right? So, who wrote the book of Psalms? It's kind of a trick question. Does anybody know who wrote it? Not all at once. A variety of people. I knew some of you smart people would say that. I was trying to trick y'all. How many people thought, me included, that David wrote Psalms? Well, he wrote a lot of them. He wrote most of them. But they have attributed the Psalms to more than seven composers. And I say composers because I want you to know this. These Psalms, each individual one, is like a poem. It's like a song, okay? And so a lot of times you'll hear them written as authors or composers. But know that there's more than seven. And let me tell you something else that's going to blow your mind. Some of them, we don't know who wrote them. What? Some of them, we don't even know. Can you imagine? All the historians and all the scholars that do all this research, right? And they just can't, they come up with nothing. They don't know. I heard this and I thought, wow, this is so cool. Because that troubles me. Like I'm a technical writer. I'm a technical person. I like details. That bugs me that we don't have all those details. But let me tell you this. I read this quote and I thought it was really cool. The Psalms conceal their origin. The Psalms conceal their origin. We don't know. You know why we don't know? Because God is the author of the Psalms. God is the author of the Psalms. That you're going to come through this. There's going to be places, friends, where we're going to read a psalm and you're going to look for the happy ending and it to be tied up in a bow and is not coming and it will not happen. There will be places in the Psalms where the author writes and there's brokenness and there's pain and there's struggle and it just ends. There's going to be times when you look at it and you're like, oh, David wrote that. I know that. And then there's going to be times you read it and go, what in the heck is happening to this person? But there's purpose in that. And it's because sometimes we focus too much on the background and too much on what's happening in the details. And I think the Psalms want us to know that God is the author and he's the one who wrote this thing, right? Something to know, King David, he was the God-anointed king, and we'll talk about him more as we get into the first couple lessons, because we do a lot of David Psalms in the first couple lessons. But know this, that he's most closely tied to the Psalms because he's King David, and he's a musician, and a lot of the remarks and titles and subtitles and stuff are musical. They're musical in nature, and so we all kind of tie it to David, but you may also see that there's going to be these places where it says a psalm of David, a psalm for David, a psalm by David. Sometimes we don't even know if David wrote those. Sometimes they may have been written just with David in mind. If his, you know, like if I go write a song, it's not really about my life, but maybe it's about someone else's life or something else. So just know that there are times when we're sort of certain that the author was David or whomever, and then there are times we just don't know, okay? So just remember that. The Psalms conceal their origin, and there's purpose in that. When was it written? All right. Here's the thing. This is what I've come to learn. There are a lot of guesses, okay? There's a lot of guesses. And that's what's kind of cool about Psalms is you can kind of rest in the, hey, man, it might have been written here, it might have been written there. This is the most, this is what I found to be the most agreed upon span of time. Some of the Psalms started back in Moses' era, from Moses, and that would be 1410 BC, starting in 1410 BC. There's one that we think Moses wrote. And that spans all the way to the late 6th century, early 5th century. Y'all, that's 900 to 1,000 years of writing. Did you realize that? That's a lot of time. So this Psalms is a compilation. Think of it that way. That's why I said before, it's not like this chronological thing that you read through. It's a compilation, okay? To whom was it written? The Psalms were primarily intended for the people of God. For the people of God. And back then, that would be the Israelites. A lot of things I found show that it's intended for public worship, meaning it was really meaningful to the individual, but they usually sang these things and chanted and repeated and all this as a group, all public in nature. Think of it like this. Like, you know any great old hymns? Yeah, right? Some of the great old hymns, right? Amazing Grace. We probably all know that one. It was so personal, and if you read the story behind it, it's beautiful in the way it was written, and it was just this personal psalm to the Lord. But what do? We sing it together as a group, right? It means something to us in public worship, but to the author, it had this personal meaning. Okay, that's what this is. It's a hymn book, really, is what we're getting into. Jesus sang the hymns, the psalms. The apostles sang them. The New Testament church sang them. We sing them now. I'm going to challenge you. When you walk in, you heard music playing. And so as the summer went along and I was writing this study, I would ask God, just let me hear them. Let me see them, right? Don challenged me, write down every time you see them. Write down every time you hear them. They're everywhere. You are going to leave here. You're going to read Psalms. You're going to be praying. And you're going to start seeing it. And you're going to know it, right? Music. Out in the world, they're everywhere. But I love the fact that our Jesus sang them and prayed them. Many of them were sung on the journey to the temple. A lot of them had a purpose. Later in the study, we'll go into some of the songs of ascent. We'll talk about that. There's all this speculation about when they sang these and what the process was. But just know there was function, but it was always like these big groups of people that sang these things, memorized these things. Back in time, whenever they didn't have this pretty cute little pink Bible or Lifeway Christian store. Yeah, a lot of the scripture they carried with them, they carried in their heart. You know, they sang it, repeated it. That's what the Psalms were. In what style was it written? In what style was it written? Psalms is interesting. Poetry is what it is. Poetry is what it is. I want you to remember that as you're walking through this, because it took me a little while to kind of get used to the way the Psalms are written. Because let me tell you, last semester we studied John, right? So we went through verse by verse by verse. Historically, there was a chronological order to what we were doing. You've shifted gears in the biggest way. We are going through a book of poetry. I love this quote. I read this. It says, poetry is a special use of language. Poetry might be defined as a kind of language that says more and says it more intensely than ordinary language. Poetry is not designed basically to communicate information. Poetry is the language of experience. It's powerful in its communicative ability. It's the language of experience. Is anybody journal in here? Even if you don't, you can pretend like you do because it's kind of cool to journal. You should do it. I do. And I'll tell you what, you can learn a lot about me when you go open my journal at any given moment. A lot, like lots. Messy, dark, weird, funny, joyful, all those things, right? But when you crack open my journal and you look at it, this is this amazing expression of the experience of my life. I don't know about you guys, but I don't like write out, 9:45 a.m., had breakfast, da-da-da-da-da. You know, it's not like this informative thing. It's like this free-flowing experiential mess of words. And that's what I feel like we're in sometimes in the Psalms. We've like opened David's or one of the, we've like opened their journal. And we're like reading this unbelievable, may not make sense. We may not have 9:45, 10 a.m., 10:15, all that. But it's this beautiful experience. That's what this is. So it's poetry. Let me tell you. Poetry in Old Testament terms and Psalms is a little different than we're used to. There's not like rhyming words, which would make it so fun, right? We could totally memorize it. Yeah, there's not that. There's really two areas of poetry that encompass Psalms. One is called parallelism. And here's what that means in Chris terms. Basically, that means you're intentionally connecting two parts of the passage, expressing the same thought through different words. Okay? So like you're going to get in here a lot. And there's been moments where I'm like, really, David, stop. Okay, you've said the same thing like five times. Stop. It's intentional. It's intentional. He'll say something one way. God is my strength. He'll say it down here a totally different way. And you'll go, oh, wait, that was like totally like the same thing. And if there's something that we've learned in Bible studies at Rock Point Church, in Genesis mostly, right? Every word has a purpose. Every word in here has a reason. If it's repeated, there's a reason. Okay? So parallelism, repetition is essential in prayer. Remember that too. Right? He wants to hear us. How many times? Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. How many times have you just repeated to him in anguish, repeated to him in joy? It matters, okay? So notice that as we go through. You're going to see some of that, and don't get weirded out. Just go, wow, that's cool. I'm supposed to pay attention to that. Second thing about poetry, oh, this is cool. And I'm going to try, if I can, as we go through, to kind of point these things out whenever we can, but acrostics. We're not going to see it in here, but know this, in the original Hebrew of the Psalms, there are Psalms in there, and 119 is one of them, that begin with the same, they begin with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, one section does. The next section begins with the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The next one is the third. It's like this amazing thing, and you know what it was? It helped these folks that didn't have a pink Bible from Lifeway to memorize, to remember, right? That's what acrostics do. They help us be able to keep that in our hearts. And that's what those acrostics did. They helped God's people be able to keep all that information in their hearts. Poetry. There's a couple things I want you to know. This is not exactly style, but I want you to think about this. Most scholars will tell you that there are five different types of Psalms, okay? Wisdom, lament, praise, royal, which is like when the, like kingship kind of thing, and thanksgiving. Okay, that's just a little bonus information. You're welcome. Got that for free. The other thing, okay, the structure and arrangement. I mentioned before that there's not really a chronological way that the Psalms are put together, but there is this. The Psalms are arranged, most people agree that they're arranged in books, and there's five books. Now, don't be freaked out by that language. All you need to know is this. Like, for example, book one is Psalm 1 through 41. All those are together. And you know why they think they're together like that? Because at the end of Psalm 41, there's like this little closing verse. There's this little verse that kind of says, and shut, right? So that's how we know. It's really, I mean, the book one is a lot of David Psalms, and that's kind of cool. Book two has some David Psalms and then some not. And then book three, they're a guess at trying to compile things in an organized way. The way we're going to go through our Bible study, and you don't even need to know this, but we're going to spend 4 weeks in book one. We're going to spend, I think, 3 weeks in book two. I'm going through it like that. Then we're going to go to book three, then four, then five. We're going to go through it like that, but not always in the exact order of the numbered Psalms. Does that make sense? So don't think it's a typo. Just roll with it, okay? All right. Oh, okay, we got to hustle. All right. What is the central theme of the Psalms? I mentioned before it's a hymn book, okay? It's a God-breathed hymn book of worship, y'all. I want you to think of it like this. You know, this Bible study is called God Reveals, We Respond. Let me give you something to think about. He's going to reveal himself. I promise he's going to reveal himself in ways to you that you just had no idea. And he wants a response. And you know what? That sounds kind of weird and kind of churchy. Like, how am I going to respond to God? I don't even know. Let me give you four things. Think about this. This is what we're going to do here. This is how we're going to respond to God. We can respond to him in prayer. We can respond to him in study. That's what you're doing by opening God's word, y'all. We can respond to him in worship. But the last thing I want you to really think about when you walk out of here today is there's one more way to respond to God. And you know what that is? It's to go tell people what he's done. Tell people what God's done. Tell your story. Tell the story of other people that he brings in your path. Because I'm telling you, friends, this stuff, I couldn't just sit on this and soak it in and then just put it in my bookshelf and not tell people. I mean, you're going to be annoyed with me. I promise you that. That's a promise. He showed me things and told me things, and I don't want to just pray about it and study and worship. I need to tell people. Let me close with something that may not make sense to you, but it'll make sense to me. So really, that's all that matters. I have a friend, and her name is Chihi. And this last week, as Dawn mentioned, we had all of our leaders together from all the Bible studies and all the women's ministry people at Rock Point Church. And what was there, like 40 people? 60. Whatever. 60 people. They love you. 60 people love you and are praying for you. We all got together and we got trained up and we got smarter and we got to spend time together. And it was wonderful. We did the first half of the day, and then we moved over into the lunch part. And they had this really great lunch in this neat room, and you walk in and everybody's chatting. It's just fun. It's like a bunch of girlfriends. It's just fun. And I walk in the room, and I'm talking to all my people, and I hear music. And if you know me, I have a little bit of a thing about music. And I'm sorry, but if you don't, too bad. You're going to get a lot of it this time, because that's kind of my thing. It inspires me. So we walk into that room where the lunch is being served, and everybody's in line waiting to get their food, and I hear music. And I'm like, oh, Dawn, that's so thoughtful. You have music playing. She wasn't thoughtful. She didn't do that. You may have asked her. Thank you. She didn't think about it. But I walked in and I thought, wow, I love this. There's music. And I look, and there's my friend in the back of the room. And she found a piano, because, you know, there's pianos laying around sometimes. And so I'm sorry if I was in the conversation with you, but I walked away and I went and I sat, and there was a chair next to the piano, and here's my friend. She's playing the piano. Her eyes are closed. I don't even know if she knows that I'm there. And I sat down and I just watched her hands. And I just watched her hands. And then I looked at her face, and then I watched her just play. And she wasn't singing. I think she was humming and she was moving and she was playing. And I don't think it was perfect. Maybe it was. I don't know. But I was so overwhelmed because I had just finished writing Psalms, and I'm looking at that and I'm like, I don't know what made her love playing the piano. And I don't know, I can't look at her. I don't know what moved her so deeply when she was playing the song that she was playing. But I do know that it did. And that she was so gone to everything happening behind her, to the lovely lunch being served and the laughing and all that. She was in this worship, right? And I just watched her hands and I thought, I don't have to know all the details of what motivates her to hear the beauty in it. I was overwhelmed too. I didn't want to get up. I sat there and I finally reached over and I just, because I had to go to the bathroom. I had to get up. I'm old. Stuff like that happens. And so I just patted her shoulder and I left. Now we never even, I don't think we reconnected the rest of that day, but that moment changed something in me, because it reminded me that that's what Psalms is. You're not going to know every detail and every motivation of why David and all the other folks that wrote Psalms wrote what they wrote. And there's going to come times where you are dwelling in the I don't know, like you're drowning in it. You don't know what the heck is happening. Just remember her hands. And just remember, God's got something to show you. You may not get all the details. You may not get the same background that the girl next to you gets. But he's got something really awesome to show you. Like me, sitting there that day. He showed me and let me listen and see and hear in a way that was just for me. He's got stuff to show us, y'all. And I'm so excited that you guys are going to be here for the ride. Let me finish with this. Luke 24:44 says this. This is Jesus talking. Ready? Take notice, people. These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. You're going to learn about Jesus in the book of Psalms. And I'm excited to get to do it with you. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for my friend's hands. I thank you for the people that you use, like the psalmists, to show us who you are and help us respond to you, God. It's an example. You've given us a blueprint, and I thank you that we get to use that. Thank you so much. And God, we just ask today that you be in our conversations and you be in our motivations. And Father, I just want everyone in this room, and I'm asking you right now, everybody in this room to walk out of here feeling just a click closer to you, God. Just a click. Just take us, point us in the right direction. And thank you that I get to be a part of this. I get to study your word with my friends. And we thank you ultimately for your son, Jesus, who died for us so that we can know you. In Jesus' name, amen.